Since iTunes only keeps the last 100 episodes of any show, some of our show topics that seem to help the most people are no longer available when people search on iTunes. So in an effort to make that information available to more people, from time to time we're going to re-air some of our most popular show topics. You can also go to kickitnaturally.com and search for any topic in our search box. For now, enjoy this show on anxiety and panic attacks that originally aired in February of 2014. And we'll see you next week with an episode on posture and alignment.
TC Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with TC Hale, natural health expert, author, film producer, sometimes jerk. Hey TC, what's up?
To each of you, I say hello.
And I'm also here with cutie patootie Will Schmidt, who's also, ladies, a great chef.
Oh.
I tried his French toast this morning. I won't tell you why I was eating with him in the morning.
Breakfast with Will.
Breakfast with Will. Say hi, Will.
Hello.
He did it. He did just what you told him to do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's fun.
Well, I said hello instead of hi, sorry.
Okay, so today's topic, we're going to be talking about anxiety and panic attacks, so don't get all anxious on us.
Simmer down.
Yeah, we're going to be discussing all this stuff. But first thing, I have to say, are panic attacks real? Because some people think that that's just BS.
They really do, and if you've never experienced it, you just don't know, and you just think somebody, hey, maybe you're a bit of a drama queen. Why don't you just come down to reality a little bit? You don't got to be such a sissy all the time. And it's really not the case. It really is physiological things going on that create these stresses and that can cause horrible situations. So we're going to kind of explain how that happens. But yeah, it's real stuff. It's not something that's just in your head. And it's not even always something that originates in your head, like most psychologists will tell you.
Psychologists, are they stupid?
I don't think they're so much stupid as much as they just need to pay their bills.
Oh,
no, I'm kidding. Okay. there's a lot of value in what they do, just not all the time.
Okay. So if you're listening right now, go ahead. I mean, you can pull off the side of the road, of course. And then follow us on Facebook at Kick It In The Nuts. And we'll post topics there about future shows we'll be doing. And you guys can post any questions you want to cover. Blah, 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 blah. I can't talk today.
We'll do this tomorrow.
It's all
then.
This anxiety.
You want to pick this up tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm so anxious right now.
Okay.
You know, you can post questions, or we'll post questions. And then you can post more questions. This is not going anywhere. We'll answer you.
Yeah. Do stuff and we'll tell you
yes,
about it.
Yes, but just go to us on Facebook at Kick It In The Nuts. Okay, so guys, can y'all tell me a little bit about anxiety and what causes anxiety and panic attacks in the first place?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. You take five.
Okay. I'm going to we'll go regroup. Meditate.
Go do regroup. Some vocal warm-ups.
I'm still thinking about that French toast with Will.
Right.
Okay, so the important thing if you have anxiety and panic attacks, either or both, is to understand that you don't want to just try a remedy to fix it. That's not what we're wanting you to do. It's more important to understand what's causing your anxiety or panic attacks and what physiological things are going wrong to create that in your body so that you can better understand how to fix that. So don't just do something that we say to try without understanding if it's right for you, because you could make it worse for yourself if you're pushing yourself the wrong way. So the big thing that I see with a lot of my clients is that someone will have an anabolic imbalance. And if you're new to this show, you don't know what we're talking about, or you've never read any of my books or taken me and Will's courses, the anabolic state is just a cellular state, and we move into an anabolic state at night. We're supposed to do that. But some people get stuck there, and they're there all the time. So the problem with this is that if you want to induce a panic attack in somebody, you would inject them with lactic acid. That's how a lot of pharmaceutical companies will test out medications, is they'll induce a panic attack, and then they'll try to do something to see if they can help them out of it.
It's freaky.
It's freaky, but that's how you induce a panic attack, is inject a lot of lactic acid into a person. And we make lactic acid, so we know that we can have it in our body without flipping out.
Yeah, and you do it to me by making me really sore after a workout.
Right, so it's a different kind of anxious that you get, lactic acid. So, but if someone is stuck in an anabolic state, in this state, our body makes energy through fermentation. And a byproduct of making energy that way is lactic acid. So if a person is making energy that way all the time, we're not supposed to make energy like that all the time. We're supposed to use other pathways as well. But if they're creating all this lactic acid with all the energy that they're making, then it really builds up in the system and they can create a panic attack. And even before the panic attack can occur, they can still increase anxiety levels. And it's just a situation of the body reaching an anxiety from all of that lactic acid buildup.
Well, I heard a key word there, fermentation. So does that mean we can actually make wine in our body?
And that's why I act drunk sometimes, even though I'm not.
Oh, okay.
You know, that actually is the case with some people that are severe diabetics and their blood sugar gets so high.
Really? I was kidding.
I've actually heard of cases of people being pulled over and testing positive, like DUI, violating state.
I've never heard that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, violating state alcohol levels. And they're like, I swear to God, I didn't drink anything, but they had like Krispy Kreme, you know?
Uh-huh. Wow.
And their body fermented.
Wow.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's fantastic.
You
know,
do that, or you can make cheese. Just bring a couple of crackers and, you know, slice them off.
Pull some out of you in between your toes.
So
that's one issue that can cause panic attacks, but other issues can cause it as well as some problems with oxygen and also low resources, low minerals. So, Will, why don't you explain how that can happen sometimes?
Yeah, so if you're someone who has panic attacks or general anxiety, it's good to know like all the different possible things that could be causing it in your body chemistry. And Tony, you just talked about the anabolic imbalance and lactic acid. The other main things you probably want to look for is if your blood pressure is low. Kind of relates to low level of minerals that could throw, if it got severe, could throw you into a seizure. So your body knows that and it wants to, and that's, we talked about it when we talked about insomnia, one reason why it'll wake you up in the middle of the night to go get some minerals, because your body can't have that. It can't let the blood pressure and electrolyte levels go so low, or else the blood will collapse that suspension that it's in, and that's when you get a seizure. So that's one thing, low blood pressure. And then another one, the other two that I want to like mention just, and then we'll go into more depth throughout this episode, is being stuck in the sympathetic or the fight or flight state, and then also being too alkaline, if your bloodstream gets too alkaline, which is kind of hard to do unless you start alkalizing on purpose, then it's really easy to do.
Because there are some gurus out there now that are telling everybody that alkalize, and you must alkalize or you're going to die, and people use a lot of these products that will to alkalize. It ends up alkalizing their bloodstream too far, and then that can cause problems with oxygen utilization.
Yeah, it's called the Bohr effect. And what that basically is the higher the blood plasma pH, the more alkaline the blood plasma pH, the better the blood cells can pick up oxygen as they go through the lungs, but the worse they are at getting rid of it and giving it to the tissues. So the tissues, they're naturally usually making carbonic acid, and that carbonic acid, when it runs into the blood cell that's carrying oxygen through the cardiovascular system, that acid pulls the oxygen off the blood and allows it to go into the tissues.
Where it needs to be. It should be. We want oxygen.
Yeah, that's
there.
All. The blood is carrying the oxygen on purpose to give it to the tissues, not just to have it and be a big floaty red
off.
Balloon. And it's interesting, like if you look at the blood when it is a really high pH, you'll see the red blood cells are super inflated. Like they're really, really full. And the more acid someone is, the less full they are. But that doesn't mean you just want them to be super full. You want them to be delivering that oxygen. And I know this firsthand because for years I was on the whole alkalizing boat myself.
Sure.
And it causes some really intense problems. For me, I did notice like a low level of anxiety, but I took it really far and started to develop tetany. Like I was over pH, over alkalizing way too far. And that not only ruins your digestion by neutralizing your stomach acid, but tetany is when your hands and feet and muscles start to clench and cramp, which can happen sometimes if people are like hyperventilated or on purpose, like if they're doing a hypotropic breath work where they're breathing way faster than they need to, or like in Kundalini yoga, they breathe way faster than they need to, and they're blowing out all their CO2, And that means the blood can't give the oxygen to the tissues, so it starts to clench and cramp like a dead person, like rigor mortis.
Sure.
And that's what's happening chemically, like biochemically. Not that the tissue's dead, but that's what happens when someone dies. They stop breathing and that whole cycle
starts. One of my tips that I give to a lot of my clients is that you don't want to be like a dead person.
Yeah, that's good. Right.
That may be deep for some people to understand, but just trust me that you don't want to be like a dead person.
It helps them orient, you know, like, oh, not that way. All right, good.
Go the other direction.
So you can fix that by, like, one, stop alkalizing, you know, and stop adding pH supplements or baking soda to your water, that sort of thing, because that is not at all how your body's trying to regulate pH.
Right.
And even if you are too acid, that is not the way to correct it.
Right, and one thing to understand is that people can be their bloodstream can be leaning too acidic, and trying to do things to alkalize that can be beneficial. So people do improve a lot of situations doing that. Don't think we're saying they don't. But a lot of people make themselves much worse as well.
Yeah. And you can sort of, like, if you did have a bloodstream that was leaning too acidic, you could potentially feel symptomatically better and actually shift your blood pH a little bit by drinking, like, in high alkaline water. But you'd want to dig deeper than that and find out, why was your bloodstream too acidic?
Mm-hmm. There's better ways to fix it than that.
Yeah, because drinking alkaline water, while it may temporarily shift your blood pH, it's still going to mess up your digestion, and it's not getting at the reason why the blood plasma was too acidic, which usually has to do with impaired digestion. Like, if you can't break down proteins, then because you don't have enough stomach acid, then you'll usually end up eating a lot more carbs, which would then create more carbonic acid and make your bloodstream too acidic. So when you look at it that way, in a kind of indirect but yet still kind of direct way, if you just improve your ability to digest protein and use it for fuel, then you could use less carbs in your diet, and then your bloodstream wouldn't be too acidic, and you could fix the whole imbalances at the real level.
So let's get into some people's questions, and then we'll more explain some of these things further. But those are some of the main underlying causes that can be causing anxiety and panic attacks.
Okay, well,
let's see how Kenna's mouth is doing now.
I do have a couple of questions myself. Why do I always get anxiety when I oversleep for the gym?
Well, that's different.
That's
because, you know, I'm going to make you do burpees and stuff.
Yeah, I overslept for Tony this morning, so I was I had a lot of anxiety coming into the office today. Does time of year, holidays, family cause more anxiety? I mean, so anxiety can be caused by outside, you know, things that are happening outside in your life. But we're talking about more like physiological here, right? Or...
Well, I think that anybody that has anxiety or panic attacks, that a lot of times it's not just coming out of nowhere, that life is really instigating those things. What we want to do is we want to help people move their physiology to where something that's on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, a 2 or a 3, like being scared that I'm going to make you do burpees, won't affect that person physically like a 10. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people are walking around and they're already like on 7 with nothing going on.
And then you think about going home for the holidays, and there's your perverted Uncle George that you see, and you already get anxiety. You know?
Yeah, your butt starts
then
to sweat.
Then you start eating to protect yourself. It's just like a vicious cycle.
He likes that.
Right. Yeah, it is. It's a bad situation.
Uh-huh.
So think about that. Don't look at life as like it's not part of the problem. You know, those things that your psychologist or whatever are talking to you about are real. And if you can manage the things in your life, you can reduce your anxiety, but you can also move your physiology to a place to where those things don't affect you so much, and then all of a sudden your anxiety is much easier to handle.
Which leads me to, how can you ward off an anxiety and panic attack from even happening, like at the first signs of it?
Well, think about how we do in life, you know, like how we were built. We were built to, when we see a lion that's going to eat us, that all of these, you know, adrenaline, all these things kick in to make us function at a higher level in that immediate moment. So we were built to handle stresses like that. So the fact that our aunt is going to make us eat this disgusting stew she makes every year should not create a panic attack to us. Mm-hmm. It's physiology already bringing us up to a 7 or 8 that lets a little thing like that push us over the edge.
Okay. Jane from Danville, California. My anxiety level seems to be highest around my period. Well, there you go.
Will's good with girls, so we'll let him talk about
period.
Well, this gets into, and I think so does the last question too, when we talk about how to ward off an anxiety attack. It gets into like the individual causes of anxiety for that person. So when this person's reporting they get anxiety around their period, we look at, well, what's happening in their body that is shifting their chemistry into that state. And usually in the case of having a period, it's the period itself, the menstrual cycle demands so many minerals and nutrients and resources that that person who's already kind of low blood pressure will drop even lower, and that creates a panic attack for the reasons we talked about related to low blood pressure. So that person could minimize the anxiety caused by their cycle by doing stuff to raise their blood pressure and their mineral reserves, like improve their digestion, take more salts, keep blood sugar balanced.
Right. And a way to look at it is think about it like you are trying to pay $900 in bills with 18 bucks. You know, that's a stressful situation to be in. So
that's
if you're
my exact situation.
That's why I use it as an example. So if your body is trying to has all these things to do, all these functions to handle, and you don't have the resources to do that, it's a stressful situation just for your body. So then you start to feel what your body is feeling. And I don't want you to think that we're saying that low minerals causes anxiety physiologically. We don't know that exactly. We just see that a lot. And it could be, the thing is that with low minerals causes so many problems with people and not allowing the body to function like it should, that it could be creating some other deficit that we don't know about that makes some other hormone jack up, and then all of a sudden there's panic attacks and anxiety. We don't know that exactly, but what we do know is that most of the cases of anxiety and or panic attacks that I see even are almost always anabolic imbalances and people with very low electrolytes.
Mm. I'm screwed.
You're pretty screwed.
Mm-hmm. I have everything possible.
Going for you.
Exactly. Poncho from Phoenix, Arizona. As I'm sober for 3 months from alcohol, working out has been hard anxiety.
Way to go, Poncho.
Out has been hard. Okay, although he stopped drinking, he needs to use punctuation. Working out has been hard. Anxiety creeps up and then turns into a panic attack. I never had anxiety till the day I quit drinking. Why all of a sudden? Well, because you quit drinking.
Sure, drunk is better.
Back
all the time.
On it. Yeah. Don't be a quitter.
You were too drunk to know you were anxious.
Right, you don't care about anything when you're all sloppy.
Yeah. So my advice would go back to drinking.
And that's what we're here to listen to.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a health expert.
Yeah, but you know, it could be a few things. Of think about that sugars thicken up blood and give your body more resources to function. Even though that might not be the healthiest way to do it, it's still resources. So, well, what do you think about the sugars going up and down? You know.
Yeah, absolutely. And alcohol is an especially potent, crutch that people could start to lean on it for physiological reasons. Not only the sugars, but also, I guess, alcohol is an actual form of energy that your liver makes called acetate. And when the liver, the less well your liver is working, the less acetate reserves you have. And alcohol can sort of like skip that process of needing a well-functioning liver and just give you acetate straight, which helps keep your body warm, and it's a source of energy that your body can run off of. So if you just cut that out cold turkey and your liver function still isn't really on par, then you're missing a really important energy resource that your body is accustomed to having around, whether you made it or whether you drank it.
Right.
So that can really throw you off, as well as the whole blood sugar issues, like, you know.
Yeah, and plus, if you were drinking enough that you felt like you needed to stop to be sober, then your liver is probably not in the best amount of shape right
probably
now.
Not,
so that's
yeah.
probably a pretty valid thing. So, but the thing to remember is look at your physiology. What's your blood pressure now? It could have dropped into the dirt after you stopped drinking. So look at that where it is. And if you guys are new and you haven't read any of our books, go to kickitinthenuts.com and sign up for one of the courses. The digestion one is free, and it shows you how to look at your physiology and do simple tests at home so you can see where you're at.
All this talk about drinking, you guys want to go get a cocktail after the show or anything?
Sure.
Okay, sure. Amber has a lot here.
Let's
wow.
do the first part of
okay,
Amber.
Okay, we'll do the first part of Amber. My advice, know your triggers. Seek professional help if possible. Build a support group. 2, people in my life are on standby for a phone call if I go into an attack.
I think two of the people in her life are on Stamp.
Of the people of my life. Okay. This is on Facebook. People write in complete sentences. Okay. And then it says something like, five flowers, box remedy, box rescue remedy are awesome. Kava root, yogi tea has a tea, is cool too. Pepsi in extreme scenarios. I bet that Tony's not going to like the Pepsi.
Actually, I'm okay with the Pepsi thing. You're going to freak out about this. I know I'm going to go get so a Pepsi. Annoyed. Yeah, no, because you're not having a panic attack. I would only say that in a panic attack. And here's why. Actually, any kind of bubbly water or carbonated water can be great for people that are high anxiety, panic attacks, especially if they're being caused from their bloodstream being too alkaline, because the CO2 is acidic and that helps acidify our bloodstream and that allows oxygen to get where it needs to be. And Pepsi happens to be the most acidic of the soft drinks that I've seen out there. So that doesn't mean I want everybody drinking Pepsi, but in a panic attack moment, you know, Pepsi could really pull you out of that.
And this program sponsored by Pepsi.
Right. Yeah, right. It's not really so think of it like, you know, Will talked about a couple weeks ago about how the brain needs glucose to function correctly. And a lot of times to facilitate the burning of glucose, you have to have oxygen to be able to do that. Are you excited because I said facilitate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nearly sending me into a panic attack, though.
Yeah, so if a person is too alkaline in their bloodstream, then that can be a beneficial thing. The other remedies that she mentioned, the kava root, I've never tried that. Have you tried that, Will?
Yeah, and that and the Bach flowers, I've tried both of those. And those, I believe, work more directly on the autonomic nervous system.
So, pushing them more parasympathetic, kind of, to simmer down?
Yeah, which would speak something about Amber. Like, sometimes the sympathetic state is causing her anxiety, and other times alkalosis is probably causing it.
And also, I know Amber's in our support group, and she's mentioned her physiology. I remember that she was very anabolic, too. So think about sometimes that you could have more than one underlying cause, and different ones could kick in at different times. You could be like just the bonus round anxiety captain because you have all of them things going for you.
What about chamomile tea? I love chamomile. It makes me very relaxed.
I don't know.
You're supposed to be the expert.
I don't know what that would do to physiology, but I like chamomile tea. Maybe we'll have tea after this instead of Jägermeier shots.
Okay, so the second part is also, if you're working out, exercise, especially cardio, mimics the symptoms of an anxiety attack. Sometimes your brain gets confused, recognizes the symptoms, and actually will have an attack. This happened to me 3 or 4 times at the gym before I asked my psychology professor, and he explained it. Is this true, or is her professor full of crap?
He's not full of crap. I just think that he looks at it like panic attacks are started in the brain, and it's because of a trauma that you received as a child. And not that that can't be a factor. I absolutely believe it can. But, I mean, Will's a fancy trainer, so we can just ask him, what does your body make when you're working out?
Yeah, I mean, it does make a lot of lactic acid.
So if somebody already has a buttload of lactic acid going on because they're overly anabolic, now all of a sudden it ramps up even higher during that workout.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a problem.
Interesting. Yeah. Keely from Worcester, Mass. Why do I sometimes feel super anxious while I'm on the treadmill? And that's kind of like the last question.
Yeah, Kenna can probably answer that question now.
Because of the lactic acid.
That's why we turned to Kenna.
Yeah. Even though I was zoned out and looked like I wasn't paying attention, a couple of those things did get into my head. Corey from Menonomy, Michigan. Anxiety, plain and simple, sucks. If you've ever experienced it as part of your life, not once I had it, then you just don't get the feeling. Thankful for my hubby and family for understanding. There wasn't really a question there.
Yeah, but you know, for people that are kind of stuck in this state, I would say, like, you can get your finger on what's causing it for you by looking at a couple different measurements. Like, check your blood pressure. Is it low? Check.
And what would you say is considered low?
I would say, like, like under 113 systolic, and we would say diastolic under like...
It could vary a lot, but yeah. Just look at the top numbers so you don't get too complicated.
If it's under 113 on the top number on the little meter thingy, systolic, then that point starts, maybe that's an issue.
And we see a lot of people that are like 89. I mean, it's like in the dirt. And just so you know, like, it's not like dollars. 89 is a lot lower than 112.
Yeah, if you think about it, that's like two-thirds of what your blood pressure should be. You know, so you're missing a whole third of blood. Like, a third of you, like, imagine all, like, a third of the blood in your body fell on the floor.
Right.
It's a problem.
You'd be concerned about that. Yes. So with a blood pressure that low, you should also be concerned.
And then when you look at, like, is alkalosis my issue? You can either you yourself count or have a friend count how many breaths you take in a minute. And if your breath rate's really slow, like, if it's much under 15, like, somewhere, like, around, like, 10 or 9 or... Yeah. Then that points towards, hey, maybe alkalosis is my issue.
And just count inhales. Don't count both. And we teach how to do all these tests, too, in the courses and books.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, for someone who just feels like they're just stuck in anxiety for life, look at those two measurements for now and see, like, am I either of those? And if so, now you have some little ground to start orientating yourself and what you could do to shift it.
Right, and it's kind of fun. And this is the thing, you know, you look at Corey, what she's saying, and she's found ways to navigate herself through life. And that's kind of what we do when we have an issue that we deal with. We just go in a way that allows us to function and be a human. But usually people feel like I'm stuck. This is just me. This is my personality. I'm just touchy about these kind of specific things. And just know that you don't have to exist that way. You can improve things to at least make it better and easier to manage. Yeah.
And you know, one tricky thing that I see with a lot of women that try to be thin is like they'll see these measurements and they'll start taking ground to fix it. Like they'll fix their digestion, start eating more on time, eating more protein and stuff, and they'll start to gain weight because now they have blood pressure, you know, and they'll start to maybe even possibly build muscle, and they'll freak out because now they have...
Because the scale said something they didn't want to hear.
Yeah, and now they're like, oh my God, I weigh over 100 pounds now. You know? And then they'll stop eating. And even in like severe hypothyroid bedridden girls, like they've been, you know, struggling, they finally can walk around and buy groceries again. And now they're scared to like gain any weight. So then they just start cutting their portions again. And they fall back into the same patterns of like, you know, chronic fatigue and anxiety and, you know, digestive issues. So
all that skinniness and beautifulness just goes to waste.
Yeah. Kind of, they can't even go out.
Yeah, and they have no personality with being in the dumps.
Right.
So.
I just love it, don't you?
You want to do a whole show topic just on that,
skinny
don't you?
Skinny biatches. No, I have no problem with them as long as they stay away. No,
so okay. I'd say try to shift your chemistry back into the ideal ranges. And then once you do that, you'll feel better. And then look and see, like, do you stick with those changes or are they starting to make you gain weight or whatever? And then do you sabotage yourself? Because you have a lot of gravity and emotional sort of resonance with the patterns you grew up with. So unless you stay mindful about those things, you'll probably go back to those old ways and then just feel like, oh, that didn't work for me. So it's probably because you stopped doing it.
Right. You know? And like with a lot of people, I'll just tell them, you know, don't get on the scale because the scale's a liar. Mm. You know, it doesn't tell you what's really going on because muscle weighs more and all these things that are happening. So I just tell people just, it's better off if you just, you know, measure your waist and use that as a gauge, if you want to be a waify little chick or something.
Yeah. And you can make it all the weight go to the good places by working out, right? And all these things. So don't think that you're going to look bad just because you put on a couple pounds of lean muscle. You
know? Right. So just get past having to know what the number is.
Okay. Billy from Phoenix. My football coach used to have me breathe into a paper bag and it always worked. Why is that? That sounds like asthma more to me. And I'm a doctor.
It is not a doctor.
No, it's not.
I'm a doctor of love.
Yeah. I mean, this goes back to the whole... CO2 to oxygen balance that we talked about earlier when we mentioned the Bohr effect and the blood cells trying to get the oxygen to the tissues. So when you breathe into a paper bag, you're just breathing in the CO2 you just exhaled. So you're helping to shift your blood chemistry back to having enough carbonic acid for your blood cells to let go of the oxygen they're carrying and reach your tissues.
Right. I hope he had good breath.
That'd be gross. But that's how a lot of people that are doing the exercises that Will was talking about, where they're breathing very fast, they're dispelling a lot of CO2, and then the bloodstream can go to alkaline, and that person can either pass out or create an emotional anxiety situation. So by putting it into a bag, all of a sudden you get it all back. You can hold on to more CO2, which is acidic.
So when I'm doing tantra, and I pass out. No, I'm kidding. Glenn, I'd like to hear your take on the optimal balance between the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. Good words, Glenn. A nervous system. I'd like to learn about the hormonal underpinning of anxiety and panic attacks, adrenaline, cortisone, thyroid function. Wow. Does he have like a medical journal sitting there that he's looking up these words?
I think I remember that Glenn said he was he worked for a naturopath or something. He found us. He found us a couple of weeks ago and liked the books.
Smarty bitches.
So talk about the autonomic stuff, Will.
Yeah, I think we mentioned this, and I think I even said this on the last episode where we talked about depression, where Glenn, you can look at the equation that you get by taking your blood pressure and subtracting the systolic by the diastolic, so the top number minus the bottom number, which gives you your pulse differential, and then you divide that by your breath rate, and that gives you a resultant number. If that resultant number is over 3, you're in a sympathetic imbalance. If it's under 2, you're in a parasympathetic imbalance.
Or it's a strong indication that
Strong indication. You can look at other things too, of like the hand versus tricep temperature and the pupil dilation levels, and this, like if you scratch their skin, if it turns red or white, all those will give you indications one way or the other. But they do directly affect all those hormone systems that you're talking about, because the body is constantly trying to regulate, again, that flow of glucose and the speed of oxidation in our tissues and our cells and the stream of glucose to our brain. So it wants it to be balanced, and it will secrete the right kind of hormones to either speed or slow oxidation to try to keep you there.
Yeah, because think about adrenaline is built in us, so that when that lion comes after us, we can jack ourselves up and be turbo Superman run away kind of thing. But when we're just stressed because of traffic or rent is due, then we carry that stress for hours when we were built to just carry it for a short amount of time. And so that can start affecting hormones and jacking things up in a wrong way. That way. But Glenn, as far as looking at the hormonal situation, I don't like to say it's because of this hormone that you're having anxiety and panic attack situations, because a lot of times the body will increase hormone production of a specific hormone because it doesn't have the resources it needs, because maybe it doesn't have enough minerals to function correctly or other nutrients, so it'll try to increase specific hormones just to get the body to function. And then people kind of blame it on a hormone when it was really just the body didn't have what it needed and it was just making stuff up in a pinch. So I don't look at those so specifically when I'm looking at anxiety. I kind of find that it's better to look at the stuff that Will was talking about.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of dangerous too when you start to look at it from the level of hormone like operation and hormone regulation. Because then you're getting into pushing the body around.
Right.
You know, like, whereas nutrients are like an opportunity for the body to do stuff with. If you like inject or supplement with hormones, whether it's synthetic or organic, they're like commands telling you, right, do this, right?
Yeah, you're not the boss of me.
Right. So when you look at like, well, actually taking the more sort of agrarian or farmer sort of approach to health and nutrition, like you want to make the bioterrain or the soil of the tissues to be balanced and healthy so that all your hormones can, you know, just help everything go as it should, as opposed to just saying, oh, like your thyroid's underactive, here's some thyroid enzymes to like speed it up.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's like, well, the thyroid was underactive on purpose because you can't digest anything and you don't have any gas in your tank.
Right.
So it's push the gas pedal down. Is you're asking for a car crash. You're asking for a wreck, you know.
That's all I have to say about that.
All right. So Shane from Alcoa, Tennessee. I know my triggers and what helps me cope the best in that situation.
How come you stopped doing a different voice for each person?
Oh, I don't know. I'll go back.
I know my triggers
and what helps me cope the best in that situation. The hardest part is explaining to people why you need to remove yourself in that moment when they don't get it at all. I would love to not have them at all, but when you don't know why, it's hard to fix them.
Yeah, and that's, I think, where people get stuck, Loretta. I mean, Shane, it just sounded like Loretta the way that Kenna was talking your name. But people feel like it's them and it's their personalities. So if I just find the things in life that make me feel this way, I just stay away from those things in life. But if one of those things in life is exiting the house, then that's a problem.
Tony, yeah. I can't come in anymore.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's a problem. So so try and just look away from the way of thinking of it's my personality. What ideas can I have that would change this? Instead, look at your numbers. Let's see where you are, and then you can help your body function better, and then all of a sudden, those things are easier.
Damn those numbers. Mm-hmm. Okay, Stephanie. They happen when I'm sleeping, working, etc. People that talk too much and don't stop to breathe irritate me. People that take too long to answer or explain something irritate me.
I'd be a problem with her, wouldn't I?
I don't like crowds, public speaking, etc. The easy answer is avoidance, but that's wrong. I could tell them to get to the point, please stop talking, but then I'm the jerk. Instead, I keep to myself and have to find ways not to crawl out of my skin in certain scenarios. Once I have established a friendship, I'm good. I take medicine and I want off it. I just need to find a way to wipe this from my life completely. It's annoyance that has set up shop in my life for way too long. Wow.
Wow, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, there you go.
I held that.
And you went right back to Kenna.
I usually start to drift into Australian or something. Try British.
Little New Zealand there. Giving you all the flavor.
But you can see, if you're not a person that deals with anxiety, that these people, it's a real thing. It's like it controls a lot of their life. And it's, if they don't do the things they've learned that allow them to function, they're pretty screwed. And it sounds like they might be punching somebody at a dinner party and telling them to shut up.
Stephanie's got a short fuse there. Maybe she works for the post office or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think for this person, like we always say, helping the body chemistry can help the situation, but also sounds like there's some real interpersonal dynamics and ways of interacting with people that she could alter and have better results with, like reframing what confronting someone is, you know, and saying like, oh, I'm the bad guy. It's like, oh, you're just trying to get clear or whatever it is, you know. So
right,
chemistry is not the whole thing. We can help improve our capacity to
if she can go 30 seconds listening to somebody talk. If she helps her body function later, you know, better, she might be able to make it a minute and a half before she punches them in the throat.
Yeah. Right.
And that's all we want. We're just looking to give you an extra 45 seconds. That's our goal.
But I'm with Stephanie. There's a lot of stupid people out there, and they just, you know, they get on my nerves.
Yeah. A quote I saw the other day about something about it, whoever coined the term common sense didn't know very many people.
Yeah, exactly. I had a question too. This is kind of off point, but like in the times of cavemen and stuff, were there all these imbalances then? Because they didn't have processed food, so pretty much their bodies were working correctly, right, at that time? Or just over time, we've screwed ourselves up with this crappy food that we're eating, calling food,
or the cave drawings that were depicting this bipolar bitch that was trying to get out of the village.
Experiencing and a panic attack.
Yeah. We didn't understand what it meant. Okay. Yeah. So
she was trying to like draw anabolic.
Right. Yeah. So who knows? But so Will, what would you say is our theme, or what do you want to take away
tie
from
us
this?
Up, Will.
Overall, from this, I would say like if you have problems of anxiety, don't just think that it's something you got to sort out mentally. Look at like what biomarkers are off in you. Is your blood pressure low? Is your breath rate really slow? That is your nervous system kind of tweaked? And then
are you on cocaine?
Right. are you out of meth? Like whatever it is that you need to get your fix to balance out. But no, if you're off in any of those markers, then recognize those, identify them, and then start working through our courses, like our free course in digestion or the fat loss course even could teach you a lot about these terms that we've been throwing around, and you can bring yourself back into balance and find that even if you do have real life external sources of anxiety, you're going to be able to handle them a lot better. And if it was just biochemical, well, then you'll be fixed really quickly when you fix those.
So the deep breathing and stuff like that, meditation, and that will help? Will that help too? I mean, is that kind of like with the breathing in the bag thing?
I find, personally, for me, I get a lot out of meditation. And but that's because for me, like, I'll have my mind going really fast all day trying to manage things, and it just helps me sort out what's going on mentally. But I know, like, the difference between that versus the anxiety that I feel if I get too alkaline or if I tweak my nervous system too hard. But
you're already working on all the digestion and all that stuff too. So like if somebody wasn't working on anything, any of that, and they were just like sitting there breathing or
just trying to meditate. Not, you know. I know plenty of people that are deep into meditation practices, and they come in and we look at their chemistry and we find, like, I'm able to just tell them right away, your mind is always on. It's never calm because you're stuck in a sympathetic state. And they're like, yeah, even though I meditate like 3 hours a day, it's still just, it's always racing. And it's just because that's what's happening in their brain chemistry, because that's what needs to happen to keep their body balanced.
Right. And think about it this way, that just because that breathing in a bag and increasing the acid levels in the blood could pull one person out of a panic attack doesn't mean it would pull everybody, because if another person's panic attack is caused from too much lactic acid in the body, then that bag isn't going to do anything for you. Mm-hmm. It's just going to make you suck up your own bad breath. Mm-hmm. But and if you are listeners that are familiar with what we're talking about, you've read the books and you know where your chemistry is, when I see a client that is dealing with panic attacks or high anxiety, most commonly I see them in an extreme anabolic state. So if you're anabolic, then you know that that's something that you really want to focus on to improve your anxiety. I also see a lot of clients with really low blood pressure. So if that's you, that's another thing. You know, okay, I want to work on these things. And when I see them start to move, if I start to feel better, then I know I'm on the right track.
When I'm nicer to you, you know my numbers are good.
I don't even ask for your numbers when you're exactly. nice. Instead of saying, hey, Kenny, you're a little bitchy today, I'm like, hey, could you check your blood pressure?
Yeah, exactly.
And then also the third one is an over-alkaline bloodstream. So those are the three things that I see most commonly with people that are dealing with high anxiety issues. So look at those and see which one is more appropriate for you to work on.
All righty. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. If you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com. Catch us on the next episode where we'll be talking about, I don't know, something interesting, maybe stress or something.
It's going to be amazing. Yeah, maybe we'll talk about stress.
We'll talk about something fancy, but it'll be fun. So thanks for tuning in, and just remember to poop.
Yeah, poop.
Keep pooping.
Poop on.
All right, later. 'Cause I know a place where the sun is